You'll find a copy of the authorized version in the English language of the Word of God. Pick it out of the pew there in front of you and turn with me to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we are going to read at chapter 3, the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. And God will honor and bless and stamp with his seal of approval this reading from his own most precious word. There is a concealment in the scripture, and that concealment can only become a revealment when we carefully concentrate our attention to the reading and meditation and searching of the Word of God. I want tonight to continue what I commenced this morning on the unveiling of this great monster of evil, once a bright shining cherubim and the leader of the angels' choirs of praise to God, but because of his fall, becoming that old serpent, the devil and Satan. This chapter 3 of Genesis opens with the record of Satan, the record of the first man and his wife, and the record of the God with whom they all, Satan and Adam and Eve, had to do. Have you ever thought how ignorant this world would be if we hadn't the Bible? We wouldn't know any of these things. We'd know nothing of the beginning of the world. We have known nothing about the beginning of evil. We would have known nothing about the being of God. We had known nothing about the gospel and where it came from and where it takes us to. How ignorant would the Adamic race be if we hadn't the Bible? What playthings to Satan we all would be. Pawns on the devil's chessboard if we hadn't the truth of the Word of God. We owe everything to this book, for this book is the only record of the past, the only record that takes us beyond time into eternity, the only record that reveals the God of the whole earth, the Creator of all things, God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Look with me at chapter 3 of Genesis and notice the suddenness of the appearance of Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Notice that God stamps his brand mark, his creation mark, upon the serpent. The serpent didn't come of his own. The serpent is not a creator of himself. The serpent is a creation of God. And as we noticed this morning, Satan never comes himself in isolation to tempt anybody. He comes by incarnating himself on someone else, through someone else. And here in the third chapter of Genesis, he incarnates himself in the serpent. He entered into the serpent. He took the control of the serpent. He used the serpent to argue Eve away from her position of believing God to become one who did not believe God and defied the commandments of God. In the New Testament, he incarnated himself in Judas Iscariot. Yes, the devil entered into Judas Iscariot, but the Bible calls the Iscariot a devil because he was incarnated by the devil. Always keep that in mind. The devil does not come blowing a trumpet and saying, I am Satan. He comes in disguise. And so we have the first disguise here of the devil. Genesis, you must always remember, is the seed plot of the Bible. In it we have the mighty foundation upon which the holy temple of all the Scripture is raised. I throw out this challenge. You will not find anything anywhere else in the Bible from Exodus to Revelation that has not been first mentioned, either by fact or by metaphor or by some reference to some type in the book of Genesis. So the book of Genesis is the seed plot of the whole Bible. Every seed that grows in all the other books is here in this book of Genesis. Here the rivers are all traced to their source. Here commences the great history of all histories, the history of mankind. It's been running for 6,000 years, and it's still running today. Here the concealed things become revealed things. And God takes away the cover And God permits man to look through the veil into what happened since he first created the world and into what happened before he ever committed the world. The dark things become enlightened things by this Bible. The deep things that no man could navigate in his own strength are navigated by the Holy Ghost in the sea of the Bible, the ocean of the Bible. Here the high things have all their peaks conquered. Here we have the first close look at God and the wonder of His grand and of His glorious grace. Here we get the first view of sin in its dark and damnable fury. But thank God we also get a view of its forgiveness by the grace and power of the sacrifice of Christ. Here in Genesis we get the first view of Christ in His suffering. But we also get a view of Christ in His sovereignty. All power is given unto Him. Here we get the prophecies flowing to their fulfillment. And every prophecy that we find in Genesis either has been fulfilled or is being fulfilled or will be fulfilled. Here we get Satan, the enemy of God, who made himself so exalted that he exposed himself to the darkness of God's terrible judgment. The theory of Darwin and evolution are not known in this book. There is no mention of them. You see, Darwin and the men of the day would tell us that man is climbing a ladder. And every generation of man brings him higher and higher and higher. This book of Genesis tells me man was at the top of the ladder and he fell. And how great was that fall? There's a great difference between the thinking of the scientist and the scholarship and this blessed word of God. This blessed word of God gives a lie to all the lies of man and shows them and exposes them for what they are. Now, if you read this third chapter, you'll find how simply it states it's not about. Simplicity is the great characteristic and attribute of divine truth. This holy man of God, Moses, he was moved by the Holy Spirit. And we have in simple language a tremendous, overwhelming scene that took place when Satan entered the world stage. Note the emphasis that the devil is only a creature of God. He is not God himself. He's only God's creature. God made him. God controls him. God defeats him. And God will deliver his people one day in eternity from all the power of Satan. And Satan shall burn in everlasting judgment in the fire of God's awful punishment. You read this scene in chapter 3. You say it's drama. Yes, it's damnation drama. Here we find the serpent coming to seek
and to kill and to destroy. What a seeking! What a killing! What a destroying! What a death! The whole stage of a slaughter chamber, a death hall, the anteroom to hell and off hell. Hell enlarging itself is the outcome of the devil's madhouse. The dark results are very plain. First, you have the voice. The voice of Satan from the serpent's mouth. It was a strange voice. It was a daunting voice. It was a surprising voice. It was an arresting voice. Second, you have the attack on the holy word of the Holy Trinity of God. And third, you have the bringing forth of a lie from the lips of Eve. She added to God's word. God said, you'll not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're not to do that. She added to it, neither shall we touch it. God never said that. She added to the word of God. I read in Proverbs 30 and verse 6, add not unto God's word, lest he reprove thee, and that thou shalt be found to be a liar. He was found to be a liar by adding to the word of God. And so the path to apostasy was treaded, ending in the fall. And what a fall it was. All generations of mankind are stained, tainted, ruined, and deserve eternal death because this woman added to the word of God and then violated God's word. You'll notice the devil didn't introduce himself or say anything about himself. There was no revealment with the devil, there was only concealment. He appears. He speaks. He doesn't speak about himself. He says nothing about his past, nothing about his present, or nothing about his future. He attacks the word of God. Would you notice, please? He says, yea, hath God said. He starts with a positive, the word yes. We live in a day when we hear all these liberals and moderates, Jesus says, we must be not negative. We have to be positive. And so the devil starts with this great word, this positive, yes! But before you get to the end of the sentence, he has changed. And he says, yes, God has said, but ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There was the lie given to the positive. Satan came to destroy the woman because he himself had destroyed himself in the circumstances of his own fall. I've already touched and warned about he always incarnates himself with someone else in order to obtain his objective. He takes over others and uses them as slavish playthings in his hand. Here in the unfallen paradise of the Garden of Eden, he takes over the serpent. Of course, in an unfallen world, no fears would be in the mind of anyone about wild animals. because there was no such a thing as a wild animal before sin came to this world. There's a day coming when this world is going to go back to the pre-fall of man. There's going to be a millennium in this world for 1,000 years. And Isaiah 11 verses 6 to 8 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall no longer live on meat and blood, but shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the cockatrices. Then, pre-fall earth, God's going to restore that. We're going to return to the time when there'll be no wild animals. So, she was not afraid of the serpent. She no doubt was interested in the fact that the serpent spoke. Satan's plan of attack was to make her so interested in the serpent speaking that she wouldn't think of who the serpent really was. Rather, she'd be only too eager to listen and consider what the serpent asked her to do. Satan opened the serpent's mouth, and all the words the serpent spoke were from the devil himself. The testimony of the actual serpent's wisdom says he was more subtle, more wise than any beast of the field. Even Christ confirms that. What does Christ say? He said to his people, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So Satan had the perfect disguise to conceal who he was, to take out of her mind any questioning of who he was, and to lead her to question the veracity and truth of what God had said. You know, many people think that the devil works to make man commit the grosser sins of the flesh. But as I have studied the Bible, I have found out three things. Number one, that every person has to face the world, and the world tempts every member of the human race. And then there's another temptation that comes from the flesh, and every person in the world is tempted in the realm of the flesh. And it's the world and the flesh that produce the gross immoralities and filth in the heart of man. Jesus Christ told us that. He said in Matthew 15, verses 18 to 19, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, not from the devil, from the heart. And they defile the man, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. So the grosser sins of the flesh are produced by the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Satan goes to a higher field to attack people. He attacks people on the basis that he wants to destroy their trust in the infallible Word of God. And so he lies about what God has said. Yea, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The yea of the positive conceals the negation of the commandment. As I have said, the jargon of today among people is, let's be positive. Such is the language of Satan. Satan's yes is only a smokescreen to try and destroy people from being alerted to the object of his temptation. Satan's first move with Eve was to stop her asking any questions about himself and turn the whole into an issue about God and the veracity of God's holy word. In Genesis 2:16 and 17 we read, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Would you please look at the third chapter of Genesis? And what does it say? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. If you go back to the tree in the midst of the garden, was the tree of life. You know, there are four trees that you have to look at in this garden. First of all, they're all the trees. God planted the garden with trees. And if you care to read carefully Genesis chapter 2, you will find that God didn't produce the trees in the gardens direct, but he produced them indirect. He created first the tree and then he planted them. God planted them. They didn't grow out of the ground automatically. They were specially planted trees. Keep your eyes on the specially planted trees of God. That's first. Then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then in the midst of the garden, there was the tree of life. And then there was another tree that they went to, the fig tree, to get leaves to cover their nakedness. You need to keep your eye when you're studying this passage on the four trees that are in that garden. They're all very important, and there's a way to each one of them, and there's a way from each one of them. So you need to see how you get to the tree and how you leave the tree. And when we are taught that, then we begin to see how God intends to deliver us from the temptations of the devil. Would you look with me at the fact that the devil put a bait on the hook, and he said to Eve, you'll be like the Most High God. You'll be like God. And that's what the devil said, as we read this morning in the book of Ezekiel. I'll be like the Most High God. The bait that the devil took and caused his fall was the very bait they put on the hook to cause the fall of all mankind. And he succeeded in doing that. He gets Eve nearer and nearer to that tree so that her hand just needs to be outstretched a little and she has the fruit. It's going to cause the ruin of the race. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. How did she know that the tree was good for food? She had never tasted of that tree. That was the complete deception of the devil. The devil always deceives people and tells them something that they believe, but there is no foundation for that belief. It's the cunning craftiness of the seducer of men and women's hearts and minds and souls. The appeal to the fleshly senses. It is good for food. Pleasant to the eye. The appeal to the emotions. And then a tree desired to make one wise. The appeal to the soul. Notice those three things. Because the temptation that the devil brought to Christ was based on the same three spheres. Command these stones to be made bread. That's an appeal to the bodily senses. Cast thyself down. That is an appeal to the emotional senses. Fall down and worship me. That's the appeal to the spiritual senses. And in the same method that Satan used to deceive Eve, Satan attacked and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. Eve fell, but in the place where she fell, Jesus conquered. If he hadn't have conquered, you would be in hell. And this world would be in the depths of the fire of destruction. But there came one, the God-man. And he prevailed over Satan and sin, hallelujah. And he broke the devil's head. And when you read that chapter that we have there in the third chapter of Genesis, would you please note something. That the first person that is mentioned having suffered is not the devil. It is Christ. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in the bruising of the devil's head, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered tremendous agony and tremendous torment on the cross to bruise the serpent's head. Oh, the bleeding lamb! Oh, the bleeding lamb! He was found worthy. Adam was first formed, Paul tells me in 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14. And Adam was not deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam committed the sin with his eyes open. It was Eve that was deceived. That's what the scriptures tell me. And she was in the transgression. The first man that God made didn't fall first. It was the woman that he made second that fell the first. She was deceived and she was in the transgression. There came a voice to this place where the fall took place. It was the voice of the Lord God. Would you please notice what it says in this third chapter. They heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You don't read that in the Bible. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Who is the voice of the Lord God? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. and the Word was God. Christ in the garden, coming to announce His own decease upon the cross for the salvation of the lost. It was Dr. W. Griffith Thomas who said, "Well, God's question to Adam still sounds in the ears of every sinner. Where art thou?" It is the call of divine justice which cannot overlook sin. God never overlooks sin. It is the call of divine sorrow which grieves the sinner. It is the call of divine love which offers redemption from sin. To each and every one, Christ's cry is reiterated, "Where art thou?" And standing in his shame and in his nakedness with his wife Eve, they heard from God's lips the plan of the enemy to destroy them and to damn them from ever coming back to paradise. That paradise would be lost forever except God intervened. But paradise tonight is regained because Christ died for sinners on the cross. And the Lord turned to the serpent and he said, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here is God's message to the devil, who had destroyed the newly made man and his wife. The curse of God rests on sin. It is a curse above all curses. It is poured out on Satan because of his awful deed. His plan to destroy all mankind. He is cursed above all others. He inherits the unending enmity between God's seed in himself. Thank God Jesus Christ is the devil destroyer. He has put his head, his foot upon the serpent's head. And while his foot has been bruised, thank God the serpent's head has been broken forever. Satan is totally humiliated. And the serpent of today bears witness to the everlasting monument of destruction. It goes on its belly and it eats dust all the days of its life. The attempts that the devil has made to attack Christ were all defeated at the cross. And Satan's smoke of torment will ascend to heaven forevermore. And so shall end all who are traitors to their God and to his word. But Adam and Eve received something. They received coats of skin. Their fig leaves were the covering of their own handiwork. And no man can be saved by his own effort. And if your religion is an effort of yourself, you're a lost soul and you'll be a damned soul. But what happened? It is quite clear that God made them skin. The animals gave up their covering to cover Adam and Eve. Blood-stained garments alone can take away the curse of sin. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Only blood-washed ones are there in heaven. the redeemed of the Lord. I read an old hymn this week in a very ancient hymn book. And it runs like this: Behold, the mighty Savior comes from Edom's hostile plains. A crimson vesture he assumes, and blood his raiment stains. From Bosra glorious he appears, his robes with victory shine, complete salvation lo he wears with majesty divine. Why thus arrayed, Almighty God, in vests of purple glow, with garments dyed in streams of blood that from the winepress flow? The winepress I myself have trod, and with me there was none. Your strength and your salvation stood complete in me alone. When not an angel's strength could bear the vengeance of a God, then did the Son of Man appear in garments rolled in blood. Alone he stood, alone he fell, alone the conqueror rose, alone he burst the bars of hell and trampled on our foes. Thank God the devil is defeated. Sin has been blotted out, and man and woman may come and look to Christ and be saved forevermore. And paradise lost becomes paradise again. Have you regained paradise in your soul? Are you marching to heaven? The beautiful city of God. Wait not another moment, sinner. Flee from the wrath that is to come. Hide yourselves in the wounds of Jesus, for only there is everlasting peace given to the sinful sons of Adam's fallen race. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, write it upon our hearts, and may we study the scriptures of truth, look into the deep things of God, and have our hearts and minds covered with God's power for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen and Amen. Do get copies of that tape this morning and this evening and help to circulate them. I believe these messages are vital for our day and generation. God bless you.